Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. That's what the ringing of that school bell means. I'd encourage you now to get your Bible and turn to the book of Judges. And we'll continue with the Sunday school lesson we've been studying on the book of Judges and on this period of the Judges. It's a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of February the 24th, 1924, by E.A. Elam. And we'll be looking at Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 in just a moment. Now, while you're turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, if you will take your seats and pull out your school book, which is your Bible, then the class will now come to order. And in the last class session, we were talking about the failure of the Israelites to drive the people out of the land of Canaan as they were to do. And we're going to reread that passage that describes that failure in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here it says that the angel of the Jehovah came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you to the land which I swear to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall break down their altars, but ye have not hearkened to my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of Jehovah spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto Jehovah. The word Bochim means weeping. And we have our places of weeping. Sin and sorrow cause us to weep. Our own mistakes and faults and failures, and sometimes the mistakes and faults of others, bring us to tears. And we are to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. We read in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. Now, going through this Sunday school lesson, we have been talking about section 1, the book of Judges in general. Section 2 was how the church must be separate from the world. Section 3, which we just completed, is the place of weeping. But now in section 4, we're going to study how the people soon fell into idolatry. The author of the book of Judges introduces in chapter 2 the account of Joshua's death to show that the following generation, we read in Judges 2 and verse 10, did not obey God and therefore suffered the consequences. The people served Jehovah all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of Jehovah that he had wrought for Israel. But they did not serve God so well afterwards. During Joshua's lifetime, some had their idols, but just before his death, they promised in the most solemn manner to serve God wholly. This shows the power of a godly life. It was not only after the death of Joshua, but after the death of the elders contemporary with him, that Israel fell into such idolatry. The influence and work of good men live after them. We have seen this before, and it is recorded in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead yet speaketh. The elders were the leaders among the people. We read about them in Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, where it says, Jehovah said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself. We read also earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, where Moses had said, How can I myself bear alone your cumbrance, your burdens, and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding, and know according to your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And ye answered me and said, The thing that thou hast spoken to us is good for us to do. So I took the heads of your captains, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains of thousands and captains of hundreds and captains of fifties and captains of tens and officers according to your tribes. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, Hear the cause between you, your brethren, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, and the sojourner that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. Ye shall hear the small and the great alike. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, ye shall bring into me, and I will hear it. These elders, and none of this generation were as much as 20 years old when they left Egypt. If Joshua was 40 years old when he left Egypt, he was 80 when he entered Canaan, and hence lived in Canaan 30 years. We do not know his exact age when he left Egypt. If one of these elders was only a year old when he left Egypt, he was now 40 years old when he entered Canaan, and was 65 or 70 when Joshua died. Some of these elders died before. Some died after Joshua's death, and the ones who lived the longest could not have survived a great many years, 20 or 30 years. Some of this generation had seen the wonders of God wrought in the dividing of the Red Sea, giving the manna, bringing water out of the rock, the solemn scenes at Mount Sinai, dividing the Jordan, and etc. They had not, it seems, sufficiently impressed these things and God's commandments upon their children. God had commanded them to teach his word diligently to their children. So he commands us. Now we now come to the next section in this Sunday school lesson, and it is about Baal. B-A-A-L. Baal was what they called one of the false gods of the land of Canaan. They did evil and served the Balaam. Baal means Lord or ruler. The word Balaam is plural and signifies lords. Their false gods they considered supernatural rulers or governors, each having his peculiar district and office. But when they wished to express a particular Baal, they generally added some particular epithet, as Baal Zephon, Baal Peor, Baal Zebub, Baal Shemamayan, etc. As Camlet has well observed, the two former were adorned by the Moabites, Baal Zebub by the Ekronites. Baal Berith was honored at Shechem. Baal Shemayim, the Lord or ruler of the heavens, was adorned among the Philistines and the Syrians and the Chaldeans. And whenever the word Baal is used without an epithet, this is the god that is intended. And probably among all these people it meant the sun, according to that old commentator, Adam Clark. The worship of Baal among the Jews seems to have been appointed with much pomp and ceremony. Temples were erected to him, because we read in 1 Kings chapter 16, 32, that a man reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal which he had built in Samaria. And in 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse 18, all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and break it down. His altars and his images break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. His images were set up. In 2 Kings 10 and verse 26 we read that they brought forth the pillars that were in the house of Baal and burned them. His altars were very numerous, because in Jeremiah 11 and verse 13 we read, "According to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets in Jerusalem, ye have set up altars to the shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal." These altars were erected particularly on lofty eminences. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 20 we read, or verses 19 and 20, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the Asherah, 400, that eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Why, they set up these images on rooftops, on the roofs of houses. In Jeremiah 32, verses 26 through 29, we read, "Then came the word of the Jehovah unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am Jehovah, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set the city on fire and burn it with the houses," now notice, "upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger." There was a great number of priests to Baal. We read in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19, where Ahab said, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450. And they were of various classes of priests. In 2 Kings 10 and verse 19, "Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his worshippers, all his priests, let none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But ye who did this subtly, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal." The worshippers seem to have arrayed themselves in some kind of robes. In 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 22 we read, "He said unto them that was over this vestry, Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought forth the vestments." The worship was to be performed by incense. In Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 9, "Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods that ye have not known? Come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered, that we may do all these things." The officiating priests dance with fantastic shouts around the altar and cut themselves with knives to excite the attention and compassions of their god. And this shows clearly that this form of Baal worship was connected with licentious practices.